Fear FM. Joining the conversation to unpack the Competition Commission's inquiry into the market for the procurement and supply of school uniforms, as some schools continue to compel parents to buy uniforms from only one supplier, is the director and national head of the competition law practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Mr. Chris Charter. Mr. Charter, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Rita. Thanks very much for having me.
Just by way of context, from the evidence and from feedback to the Competition Commission, which goes back quite some time, how much of a concern is this issue around the cost of school uniforms?
It clearly is a concern, and the Commission has used a lot of its resources since as long ago as 2010 to police this issue. They've sought settlement agreements from certain private schools. They've investigated school uniform stockists, and they've now put together, you know, fairly comprehensive guidelines for schools, governing bodies, and parents addressing the issue. So clearly they felt the need to address this, you know, quite specifically, and to rope in sort of civil society to help police these things. That's just evidence that they're getting a number of complaints, usually towards the end of a school year or the beginning of one. And clearly there was enough there for the Commission to spend quite a bit of time on this issue.
And what do these guidelines highlight, or what sort of processes do they want to determine?
The key issue here is the Commission wants to foster greater choice for parents and guardians when it comes to buying school uniforms and other learning materials. And they're coming at it really from two angles. The one is to try and encourage a greater number of manufacturers and distributors and stockists of school uniforms. So there are certain there are guidelines, not yet hard and fast rules, but essentially the schools are being encouraged to appoint more than one stockist for uniform items, and that also has the secondary impact of lowering barriers to entry for new manufacturers and new stockists of school uniforms, and which is obviously good for that side of the market. On the other side, the guidelines also encourage schools to introduce more generic school uniform items. In other words, fewer exclusive items which are specific to a school, such as a blazer with a badge, and to try and ensure that at least a big part of the school uniform is generic enough that you don't need specific school stockers to supply it, but you can get it at supermarkets and clothing stores. And so from both of those angles, more generic uniforms and greater choice of stockists of exclusive items, through those two measures, the Commission is looking to give essentially consumers greater choice. And the theory is, of course, that the more choice you have, the more competition there is, and the more competition there is, the more likely that a competitor has to lower its prices or improve its quality to increase its market share and stay viable.
With the release of these guidelines by the Competition Commission, what then would be the role of the school governing bodies?
Yeah, so the Commission has kind of looked at sort of three key stakeholders to drive compliance with the guidelines. So they're calling upon parents and guardians and those who have to pay for these things to be vigilant. They're calling upon schools to make certain undertakings to ensure that there is greater choice and that they don't enter into exclusive agreements with stockists. Mm. And then they are also asking the school governing bodies to equally encourage the schools they serve to comply with the guidelines. And the school governing bodies is an interesting organization that the Commission has roped in, and they've in fact separately introduced a memorandum of agreement with the National Association of School Governing Bodies, covering about 7,000 schools across the country. And so they're really looking to the Governing Body Association to be the first port of call for disputes. So I think as the Commission gets complaints, they're going to refer those to the school governing body and say, "Won't you investigate this and tell us whether in fact there has been a breach by the school?" And hopefully a lot of these complaints can be resolved through advocacy and sort of alternative dispute resolution, rather than investigations and prosecutions. I think that's really the end game for the Commission there.
So from a parent's point of view, are they then empowered to interrogate their child's school around, say, for example, just the suppliers of the uniforms?
Absolutely. So I think you know, it's something that I think a lot of people sometimes fail to remember, is that with rights and privileges also comes some obligation. And I think it is incumbent upon to watch out. And if they do perceive that a school is still saying there is only one exclusive stockist from which you can get your school uniform, to raise those questions and point out to the school and the governing body, why is it that there is only one stockist? And why is it that there is not enough generic items on the uniform? And in that way, that information will get through to the commission, and the commission will take steps. So it's very much a kind of a two-way street. The commission saying we're here to help foster competition and enforce the guidelines, but we need to hear from parents and guardians who feel that the guidelines aren't being adhered to. So yes, I think parents really should take up the cudgels, and if they do feel that there is a problem with their particular school, to start having those discussions.
And what steps, Chris, can the Competition Commission take?
So in principle, they can conduct an investigation, and if they find evidence of actual anti-competitive conduct, in other words, if they believe that an exclusivity, for instance, does offend competition law, they can prosecute. Now, that's not the preferred avenue, because anybody who sort of watches, you know, how these things play out, a full-blown investigation plus a prosecution in front of the competition tribunal can take years to play out. So the commission, in issuing these guidelines, have really sort of indicated to schools, governing bodies, and parents the kind of behavior that the commission is likely to want to investigate and prosecute. Now, no one wants to be on the end of an investigation. It takes up time and money.
Yes.
That could be better spent educating children. So the hope is that these guidelines, while they are not themselves statutory rules or law, they certainly provide a very clear indication as to the kind of steps the school should be taking to increase competition in the supply of school uniforms. And if schools are found to be flouting that, they're going to have to explain pretty quickly why it is reasonable that they perhaps didn't adhere to every aspect of the guidelines. There may well be situations where it's just not possible to appoint more than one supplier because it's not viable for more than one supplier to provide, for instance, blazers, which need to be in every size imaginable for children, and there won't be enough demand to justify manufacturing all of the sort of the large and small sizes, the far end of the spectrum. So there may be reasons why you do need to have exclusivity, and the guidelines would say, well, if an exclusive agreement is strictly required for those reasons, be able to explain that, and in any event, that agreement should never be for longer than 5 years. So the guidelines are, you know, do get a little bit complicated. But they're relatively clear, and if you're on the wrong side of those, you are going to have to explain to the commission and potentially face prosecution. But the real hope is that through advocacy from parents and guardians and the school governing bodies, that more and more schools will in fact end up voluntarily complying.
And were these guidelines necessary from a legal perspective?
Strictly no, because it's always open to the commission to simply launch an investigation. But if they're getting myriad complaints, it is complicated to do a number of investigations into specific schools all over the country. So although it's not a legal requirement for the commission to publish guidelines, it has of late been very much part of the commission's toolkit to try and foster voluntary cooperation. They've issued guidelines also for automotive spare parts, for instance. And there are other guidelines around which do seek to indicate, you know, how our firms can perhaps behave more competitively. And I think that's probably something to be welcome. So it's within their power to issue guidelines. You know, they can always just simply prosecute, but I think the commission feels this is probably a better way to try and change behavior than with a sort of a really big stick.
And will these guidelines in any way be further impacted by the Competition Act?
Only to the extent that if schools are recalcitrant and just simply flout the guidelines regularly, the commission will bring the full might of the act to bear and will prosecute. And they'll probably, you know, frankly, they'll pick their battles. They'll find the schools where the contraventions are most egregious or where perhaps there are, you know, there are perceived deeper pockets, to set an example. But I think that would be their next step under the act, would be to say, well, you know, the guidelines themselves are not law, but we did warn you that we'd be looking at this and now we're going to prosecution.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, this is the last resort, and they would prefer us to rather adhere to the spirit of the guidelines, as you'd mentioned there, Chris. Where could our listeners have a look and go through these guidelines which have been released by the Competition Commission?
Sure. So the competition's website, Competition Commission's website, which is Competition Commission, you can just simply Google it.
Yeah.
They have very helpfully published the guidelines. I wouldn't recommend that a layperson spend too much time on the guidelines. I think what's really useful is the commission has also prepared a couple of pamphlets for schools, parents, and school governing bodies, which really set out in very simple terms not only the upshot of the guidelines and what needs to be done, but also I think some pretty clear explanations to why, if these guidelines are adhered to, it's good for schools, good for competition, and good for consumers. And I think that's probably what people will find most digestible. So go onto the Competition Commission's website. It's pretty clearly signposted as to where you can find these pamphlets on the new guidelines. And it's only about 5 pages long. It's got some pictures and diagrams, so it really isn't too difficult to understand.
Chris Charter, Director and National Head of the Competition Law Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your insights on this, Chris. Thank you for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks very much for your time.
Still coming up this evening on the Honest Truth.